So we are going to still kind of proceed because these are sort of time sensitive issues, but hoping to connect with them more and talk about these issues. Also, I got a phone call from Mark Watson today. He's in the hospital. So he was going to try to come to this meeting, but he is not. I did not probe into his health issues, so I don't really know what's going on. He's hoping to get out soon. So, dog paw. You guys see the article in the paper earlier this week? So, Mark has been coming to... Well, Mark sent this letter to Bill, and then I had coffee with him about the letter that he sent in your packet. And pretty much, they're just kind of fed up with operating the dog park under the... What's a good word? The chaos that they feel is...
The lack of control and the chaos that the lack of adherence to any of the ordinances is causing.
Yes.
That's the way to say that.
So it sounds like there's several issues. One, Clark County is growing so much, and everyone's cramming into the few dog parks we have, and so we're having a lot of issues with population and people and so many dogs, and we have issues with people who are not being very citizen of the world friendly with their dogs. They're bringing dogs that are in heat, aggressive dogs. Five dogs were killed at Dakota last year at the dog park. They're having issues with people using the parks as
daycare centers and dog centers.
Yeah, so for example, Mark went up to this gal whose daughter got knocked down by a dog, and she was upset, screaming at the owner, and she was walking laps while this girl was just running around with dogs. And he was like, can I ask you, like, why, you know, this seems like a good idea to you? And she was like, I'm a single mother. I don't have time to take my child to the park and my dog to the dog park, so this is what I do. And he was like, well, I'm just really worried about your child's safety here. So we have a lot of issues that I feel we can't fix that. We can't, you know, what are we going to do? That's not illegal to bring her child into the dog park. It's not very safe and it's not very smart, but there's nothing we can do there. I think what Dog Paw is looking for from us is to help with the amount of unlicensed dogs going in there, because there is a correlation between responsible dog ownership and licensing your dog and being the person who goes into the park with a dog that is fixed and a dog that is not aggressive and that you pick up your own dog's poop in. So I think he's looking for some reinforcement there. I think they're scared of getting sued at this point because it's a dangerous, they feel, especially Dakota, is a dangerous dog park.
Well, the other thing that's causing stress and strain in this situation is the fact that the county no longer has animal control.
They have animal control. I just believe they've got
a little bit of
animal control.
I believe it's understaffed.
Yes.
I
have to say, I don't blame them, because these are all the same issues they brought forth last year, again earlier this year. And instead of getting support and any type of answers, they're still struggling with less and less.
Right.
And right. I don't quite get why we've backed off so much, because those dog parks, they serve a critical need in our community.
But we don't have any way, the county doesn't now have any way to enforce the ordinances. We also now, people that register their dogs, the good law-abiding citizens, are paying a tax that's not necessarily, you know, the county. No, I mean,
we have an obligation, as far as I can see.
We do, and one of the reasons we wanted to get the counselor's attention or get them here, we thought this would be a friendly way to approach this. Obviously, there wasn't an interest that was large enough to make a difference in some folks' schedule, so we're going to have to, and the bottom line is, quite honestly, if something does happen, somebody sues somebody, the county's going to get right in the middle of that. And then everything's going to be locked up. You can't do anything until the attorneys all decide who's doing what, and then we're going to be told what to do.
Absolutely.
So, and that's a
tough
spot.
Isn't it better to be proactive instead of reactive?
And that's what we're trying to do. And Kelsey met with Mark, brought this information to us. We're kind of explaining this to the board, wondering what can we do? What avenues, what can we do as a park board? Because it's going to land back in our lap.
Well, at this point, Dog Pop's pretty fed up with the county's response. So their ultimatum is, you get someone in these parks 40 hours a week, or we're out, period. And I asked Mark, is there wiggle room on the deadline? Is there wiggle room on the hours? And the answer is a flat out no. And so I read the article in the paper yesterday. We're talking about like maybe having some sort of recourse soon, but
yes. So
please do, yeah.
Please.
So when that letter came to me from Mark Watson on behalf of his board, reached out to the county folks on my side, asking them, basically stating the facts. We don't have sheriff patrols out there. We've got one deputy that covers, east of 164 all the way to the Skamania line, so there's no way they're going to be there. We have checking for obvious violations. Federal patrol staff was diminished, but Mystic stepped in, which I'm not sure if he was, I didn't read the article, but I didn't know if he was given an interview. But he stepped in and actually responded back to Mark. He's a new community development director, and he said that he is going to, well, let me just read you what he sent out to Mark. And I quote, says, good afternoon, Mark. I have received a copy of your June 7th letter from your lead Parks and Lands Division Manager, Mark Kennedy. I appreciate the important and balanced animal control and enforcement concerns you and Dog Pop members have expressed. At this time, I am drafting a more comprehensive response that outlines the county's plans to ensure very robust dog licensing and animal control enforcement is maintained and provided, both in dog parks and in public. Please allow me a few days while I collaborate with the other Clark County offices to ensure their mutual understanding and agreement of our animal protection and control plans moving forward. I hope to have my final draft completed and sent to you on Wednesday the 10th, if not sooner. So thank you and all Dog Pop members for making animal care and protection important in your volunteer service for our community. And so with that, that's actually a bright spot in the story, because he has actually taken a very proactive approach, which I've never seen to this scale before. And then we're also meeting this coming week to actually talk about enforcement in our parks as well as out this area. So it sounds like, of course, he's recruiting right now for new animal control officers, but it sounds like he's going to make this a priority. And so we're actually going to see animal control officers enforcing out in our outreach area. So I don't think it's going to be 40 hours per week, so we're going to have some give on the part of
their demands.
Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty proficient. They're going to have probably 10 to 20 hours a week at least of spot checking and coming in and doing enforcement. So I think it's going to make a huge difference. It's going to turn the demographic around quickly, as far as enforcement. And so I'm very hopeful that we're going to see something very positive come out of this. So I see this coming in from Mitch Nichols, that's where we're going to throw a towel, because there's not much we can do as far as enforcement.
Is there any good to issuing a statement from the PAB to the county councilor saying, we understand Mitch is doing this, we fully support it, and believe it's both good and necessary?
Yes.
And certainly a move in the right direction. Because I think that there's something that comes, even if it's only 20 hours a week, the public doesn't know that. And so if someone is there bellyaching, I got a ticket, just the fear that they never know when someone's going to come into the park will initiate, I think, positive actions.
Well, I'd like to hear what his plans are, because that was one of the things we talked about, is maybe getting a part-time park ranger in there, somebody that can issue citations.
Absolutely.
Because some of them can, depending on what level, law enforcement they are and all that good stuff. So,
Councilor Watson, up this morning and said that she received a lot of letters, messages, emails from this newspaper article. And so I replied that, I'll first do what I have to mention. I'm very hopeful that he can actually do what he says he's going to do.
Well, that's good. No.
What were the responses the councilwoman got? What types of feedback did she get? What kind of letters did she get? Was it support? Was it fear? Was it don't ticket me? This lady's dog bothering me all the time? Where were they?
It's actually fairly respectful. We're going to be using off-leash areas, and their numbers are about up. They license their pets, but they don't go there anymore because of the danger that they face with themselves and their dogs while they're in those sites. So they're pleading for help, which is exactly what we need.
Good.
We want the counselors to hear our citizens plead for help, and so that's what's going to get the more staff out there, more emphasis on what we're trying to accomplish, which is enforcement. If we actually have just even a small push up front for enforcement, that's going to get the word out. We live in a world where we pass each other through the media. Against people that are getting cited for letting their dog have a car run free before they even get to the officer's area, they're excited for that, they're excited for not picking up the dog away, for all the different violations that they go in for. That's going to get out pretty quickly. And I think the dog parks will become very safe, very citizen. And so, as well as dogs being getting licensed, so the 130,000 pets that are out there, we've got like 17,000 that are licensed. That's like a huge deficit. And so if those people were to step up and license their pets,
right,
that would have a lot more animal control officers. So,
right,
what happens if they do well, hopefully it'll have a positive result. So,
good.
I'm very hopeful at this point, and I'm anxious to meet with Mitch Nichols and talk about next steps.
So million-dollar question, though.
Yes.
So this isn't good enough for dog. Let's say this isn't good enough for dog park. Let's say 10 to 20 hours a week. Do we want to go through the whole process of hiring a park ranger, essentially, to monitor the dog parks when dog park may walk away and then the dog parks are closed? Like, I don't want us to get to a, we hire something and it doesn't exist anymore for what we hired them to do. So I just think we need to be in constant communication with Dog Paw about that, because if they're going to walk away because it doesn't meet their work.
I'm hoping that our animal control office can start with, let's say, a 40-hour week schedule, for the first couple of weeks, and start finishing as needed.
Okay.
So
at least get it under control.
Yeah, that's
nice. Start off with a strong front, and then start, we spell out never going away. I'm always going to be there providing enforcement. So that's what I really want to emphasize with Mitch, is that to attack this with both ends.
So if there's a way to attack it, is there a way to do a media type of campaign about the importance of licensing your pets, why we do these things? I know there are irresponsible people all over, and it is what it is. You're never going to have 100% compliance on anything, but is there a way that we could have a communication with the public about why it's important to license your pet, why it's important to spay your pet if you haven't seen Bob Barker's shtick for 50 years. I mean, come on. Maybe if we get it back out there and make it a public service reinforcement, use some carrot on that, maybe we won't have to hit them with as big a stick.
Well, Mark did say they're getting attention from a couple local TV news organization.
I had
that this morning. Yeah. So hopefully when that's presented, that can be a part of these news stories and news segments that we, some of it is ignorance, some of it is just people just not wanting to pay. But if we can, like Diana has a strong point, if we can pump more money into animal control, we can, is this, with this park ranger or whatever we're envisioning here, with this out of our budget or animal control's budget?
So the animal control officers, you mean, that are going to be?
Yeah.
Those are out of community development.
Okay.
Right now, where the park's always been funded for other parks.
Is there, could the county pass a code that says that any sales of animals shall include the sale of a dog license?
Possibly.
that would be it.
But don't you not have to have a license until they're a certain age? I don't know, I don't have it.
When you adopt from the Humane Society, they give you the license, the chip, and all of that.
Right.
When we moved in from Washougal, we licensed our dogs in the city. You have to be, and a lot of the licensing, and I think for people with pets out there, is we keep our dogs up in all of our shots. We've got them spayed. We've got,
if you're doing that,
we've been doing it the whole time. But to go out and get a license when you haven't been keeping up on everything, that's a huge outlaying of money. And I think that, that's where some of our folks, and I, you know, looking at it from a both social justice side, it cost me $500 per dog to have my dog spayed. You know, that it was easy to do that, but for all families, it's not.
You can still have your dog license without being spayed or neutered.
No, but like rabies shots, because you have to, before you get your license, you have to show that they've had their rabies shot and their series of shots. So I'm just wondering if some of this, if maybe we could look at something, you know, for those who are economically disenfranchised, some type of scholarship for those to get their dogs, you know, licensed, work with the Humane Society and some of our partners out there for free spay and neuter, you know, just some different ideas to help get more people involved, offer services that are going to benefit everybody. Just a thought.
No, I think that's the evolutionary point of moving forward. But I think you made a great point. We need to get to social media and establish some kind of social media campaign that brings awareness to this in the proper way to turn around. And you know, maybe it's the PAB website and Dog Paws and others, if we can do it somewhat of a coordinated, you know, hey folks, we, you know, here's the problem, and just make it people known and everything else, Twitter sphere and stuff. So.
Can CBTV help us put together a public service announcement? Our PSA is free, and do something like that about the importance of it.
Yeah, a social responsibility. I mean, just like you can't require parents to give their children certain health care needs and such. Which is sad. You think that they're going to do that the same with animals. But building that social responsibility is only through advocacy and various medias from all directions.
Well, and just
it's
like
got to be big.
It's the way you spend it, too. It costs me $25. What do I get? Now I'm safe at the dog park. There's some enforcement going on. The spay neuter dogs are approached by the officers. Dog park, I don't know if it's even available in the county codes or whatnot. Maybe there's a way that dog park can get 1%. Licensing fees. I don't know if that's possible or not, but that might be some support to them. A little, you know, something big to kind of keep them interested, keep them going, some kind of stimulus incentive for them. Yeah, I don't know if that's possible or not, but you're right. The positive spin on what's the benefits of doing this? Well, hey, we all win.
Maybe a lot of people.
Two coffees at Starbucks.
Yes.
What are you ordering at Starbucks? Think you don't work out?
He's ordering his coffees at a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. $30.
Yeah. It has a little juice to it.
Well, you get what I mean.
Yeah.
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 No, there actually may be some funding codes in place that we can all decide to do stuff from our licensing. One thing that might be a good idea is to invite Chris Nichols to our next meeting, the August meeting.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
That's when he's supposed to be taking action, you know, out of his officers, and as you get a first hand for what's happening.
So I think that would be, you know, one of the steps to make. The other step to make is to make sure Mark, you know, monitor Mark. Now you said you reached out to him today, or he reached out to you, but and he's got an issue right at the moment, so he couldn't be here today. But I think we need to stay with him and keep him informed so that we can keep Dog Paws engaged as long as we can. I mean, to the point, I'm not sure, and I guess I don't know, maybe, you know, previous or future conversations. The problem is we don't know if this is enough to keep Dog Paws involved or engaged. And so we just need to monitor that a little bit. I think between now and our August meeting, and if Mitch can come to our August meeting and re-invite Mark to the meeting, then we could have a conversation. Hopefully, Mitch, I apologize, I don't know his name, Nichols, has developed his plan far enough along that we can see it.
Very well, we'll see it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I will have talked to him, you know, after we're talking next week. That's
right.
The plan.
Right.
Okay. So I know that they still have what they expect of the staff. They still have five and only control officers who work 7 days a week. So they are up there. So he is going to make this a priority.
Yeah, and the dog parks aren't their only assignment, obviously.
No.
Also, I mean, they have animal cruelty and lots of.
Well, in code enforcement, yeah. I spent many years working on pets of older people, working with code enforcement folks and humane society. And the stuff that they're tasked with throughout this community is so just ginormous. You don't understand the scope of severity of what goes on. Not only are they responsible for dogs, but they're responsible for all the zombie homes, the zombie trailers, all the sort of starving horses. It's crazy what they're tasked with such a small department.
Right.
And the infrastructure they're supposed to be able to set up, it's daunting. And I can understand where Mark, I've met with him multiple times throughout this last year. He's a very reasonable guy. I think he's just tired right now. And you get to that sticking point in something where you just beat your head against the wall. You just get tired. And I think he's, with a little massaging and some hope, a little hope, you know, I think he's not going to be intractable on this one.
Well, and I think that's why we need to reach out to him as soon as he's over his current issue. Because when he wrote this letter, you know, that was about the time the animal control department got de-staffed, I'll call it that. I wasn't going to say it. But anyway.
They were getting the same coffee you
had. Yeah, and so it's just, you know, I think obviously things are changing. As Bill said, and I think it's great, the county's taking a little bit of a stronger approach to this. Because quite honestly, we, you know, a lot of the county councilors are in re-election mode, and this is, you know, this was not going to be a nice thing to have on the table. And so I think, you know, it's got to get done. And
I'm just sad we let it get to this point. I wish we could have helped them earlier on. Because we all saw it coming to this, I feel, and it just like felt like there's so much stress between all the parties now trying to solve this issue that if we had just been a little more proactive on this, we wouldn't be in, like, you know, these deadlines, these ultimatums, the public now upset. Like, I just wish we could have. I would like to be more proactive on this in the future if we see something like this coming down the line.
Always darkest before the dawn. And if we can help, and I hate to use this verbiage, especially in this time, control the spin, go back and put a positive spin on it, that we're all working together for solutions, guys. This isn't about wanting to have territory wars or whatever. We want to all come together and find a solution, and we're all working to make that happen. Talk about that. Public service announcements out there about the importance of why we're doing this and why this is such a big issue and why people need to care, and take a hold of it and learn from what we've done or haven't done, but control it moving forward. And I think that would help a lot. It's just the public perception of things.
So it seems to me that we need to pull the Humane Society into this in a bigger way. We are a parks department. We manage lands, but we're not a animal control or
veterinary.
There's so many issues with this. I think it's bigger than we are.
I mean, we provide recreational space.
Yeah.
It was wonderful that they're managing these sites, you know, for the first specific purpose, which is great. But, you know, they're a nonprofit organization. They have volunteers. But when they need help, it's, you know, we're really excited about how we can set up. We have a lot of authority on our side. It's very hard for us to try to go up there and get that.
Well, I think Diana's got a great idea. We've all got to come together.
Absolutely.
And it's many piece parts that will combine and make the whole. And totally agree with you, girl.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see community development because involved in even taking possibly the leadership because we've got so many issues on the table.
We do. And the Human Society is actually involved with us with the diverse support. And I know that Mark Watson worked with them all the time. It's just that they're in fact too.
The other thing is the Humane Society tends to get a lot of donated money through inheriting funds of all sorts. We don't quite get that much. You guys get a little bit more of it, but
this is the first time this year we were asked to even consider granting for DOTFA. This was the first time they came up on our radar for funding. So maybe by all of us working together and finding our connectors and how we can connect people, we can help push this along in a positive direction by bringing community partners together to try to help with this. The Banfield Charitable Trust, I worked with them a lot during my poop group, Pets of Older People, as we were. But working with them, there's pockets of money out there. It's just, there's more power to unite and work together to find solutions. And I think Mark just got to a point where he didn't see any, and that's what was the impetus of all this. So, again, always darkest before the dawn. We can totally change this. It's just how we work together.
John, I'll give you the last word. You've been trying to say something.
Yes. So I actually do want to go ahead and propose a motion that we express our support for Mitch Kneipp's response to increasing animal enforcement, and that we request the county councilors to fund that enforcement to the highest level practicable.
Let's add dog parks in there too, because you just said animal enforcement.
Okay.
So I want to add
part about the proactiveness
and working together. And if we did that as a press release from the Parks Advisory Board, that would be a good thing. We put that out there, the Columbian, VBJ, Reflector, Camus Bashuga, what is it, Post Record. Send it out through our channel so it drops everywhere. And, you know, we could start with our first positive response and you know, call to action. Citizens of Clark County, wake up.
So, Laura, do you have what that motion is?
I don't.
All right, so to restate, if I can restate properly, somebody catch me.
Go ahead.
Move to express our appreciation and support for Mitch
Nichols,
thank you. Support of animal enforcement in dog parks and encouraging the county councilors to fund that enforcement to the highest level practicable.
Could we amend, and I know I can't make a motion, but could we amend that motion to also include the community at large in a call to action to, you know,
to support
and to become responsible pet community owners, you know, spay neuter your pet, get your rabies shot, you know, stewardship comes from both sides. It's something that includes.
Right. Well, let's make that a separate one, because this one's directed at the
councilors.
Okay.
All right. So, and Laura and I will put our heads together and get the motion written.
My verbiage isn't the best.
Well, it's close enough, and I second it. I think we need to do this as fast as possible.
I have a question. So, they don't want to develop a letter
Councilors with a position statement or letter.
Okay, so directing.
And then once you do that, are you going to drop that in a press release? The parks.
Well, that would have all three elements to it.
All right, so we're making this really a position statement.
So it's not a motion anymore?
Well, it's a motion for the...
It's a motion
to direct the two of you to write the letter.
Okay. Excellent.
We got it. All right. John's made a motion to basically take a position statement that we're in support of the...
Augmenting the
county animal enforcement group, or department, I guess is what they are, to expedite hiring and expedite enforcement of the rogue laws aimed at the county councilors, to encourage the county councilors to give them the highest support possible. That basically it. We'll get the better wording out through there. So. All right, so do I have a second for that?
I already did that.
Oh, sorry, all right.
Yeah.
Barbara's seconding. All right, any further discussion?
Just one question. Is it possible to move money over to animal control? Can the county councilors grab budget and swap some money from somewhere else? To what levels, Bill? To what dollar amount would be a reasonable or...
Whatever the council thinks feasible. I mean, it would be up to typically the Mitch Nichols to ask for funding for a decision package, and then the council approves it.
Okay.
And so whatever that amounts to, it's enough to support two more animal control officers and the animals ongoing. That's, it just has to be simply approved.
Well,
because I got the impression from Mark and the animal control officer that they were directly funded only by revenues from the license. That's why I'm going to ask my county question.
They have five officers.
I don't think that's a bad license.
Right. That's why I was asking my question. There's a disconnect there.
I think my guess is that general fund supported.
It's what general fund support.
Yeah, which is that's the problem.
Yeah,
it's broke, so they may try to do that.
But we haven't increased the amount of animal control officers in like correlation with our population growth in years and years and years and years, right?
Okay. All right. So it's been moved, seconded, discussed. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed.
No.
You're opposed?
Sorry about that.
I know it takes a few seconds for sound to travel, but I had no idea we were that far away. All right. Motion's passed in a positive manner. We'll say that. It will develop a letter, yeah. Develop a statement or a letter that can go out to the news channels and the county councilors, obviously. Yeah. And on call. Do I know? Okay. Well, we need your input because we want to make sure whatever we say or do does not conflict with what Nichols is trying to do. So we're going to let you have your meeting, and then and then make sure we're all in alignment and put a positive spin to this thing.
And Bill, when you talk about it, I think one thing you should reiterate is like just the space, like what a dog park's for.
Yes.
Like that's, I think, one of their biggest issues is what is a dog park for? A dog park is for exercising your dog. And that seems to be one of the biggest problems
kids coming up
against
is
the picnics, the bike riding, the kite flying. Yeah. And that's where they're getting a lot of these confrontations between people and other people's dogs and children, and
which I think takes us to our next motion, which is what Diane brought up, and that is
encouraging.
Can we issue press releases, and is there a need for a liaison with other organizations to work on a full campaign to educate the public?
And maybe you could call it a task force.
Sounds good.
And to put together all of the dog groups, and there's so many dog rescues and cat, you know, rescues here in town. People who are passionate, and see what we can do in combining resources, put together a task force and see how we could move this forward. And I think if you did that, you'd have all the players at the table, and you wouldn't.
I agree with that. I think we're going to have to change our wording from dogs to animals.
Yeah.
Because there'll be people, the cat groups will come out and say, well, what about us? Yeah. And,
sure.
No, and don't get me wrong. I mean, it'll be predominantly dogs.
I guess my question is are we really the leader of this group? I don't see us as the front of the line there.
I see us
in a support position.
We are a support.
So how can we word this motion so that it encourages the right person and let them know we'll be there?
I think that's what you use the word. We encourage the animal community or whatever we want to call this.
We support and encourage the animal community uniting to help us problem solve the ever-growing need of improved enforcement at dog parks.
And that's my question, is what direct action should the motion that you're asking for be directed to? Because we can't write another letter to the counselors saying we want to have a media blitz. I guess I'm just asking because I want to support your idea.
The motion would be Parks Advisory Board would engage in supporting and establishing a public service campaign in conjunction under the leadership of Dog Paw. So they're the point person.
And I'm not sure we should be the point person.
No, that's what I'm saying, Dog Paw, put them out there front and center. But we support that. We support their endeavor. And we encourage, our call to action is we encourage the public to become engaged in this. Let's be responsible pet owners. Let's be good neighbors. Let's shoot mortars off over your house when it's 4th of July.
It's good.
I'm sorry, that came out wrong.
It's good. Not that you're bitter.
It's not that I'm bitter.
I'm trying to figure out what that would be.
From the community perspective, the dog parks are a great resource to the entire county. It does take those dogs out of the park and they will take some away.
Public service campaign. Exploring a public service campaign.
Okay, so did you write something down?
Yeah, I did actually. PAB encourages and support dog paws and animal groups to establish a PSA campaign for what?
The education and advocacy.
Okay.
Of
healthy dog parks.
Healthy dogs and healthy dog parks.
But, let's go back to animal though. Let's go for
Go to animal.
Yeah. So.
But we're talking about a dog park.
Well,
don't take a cat to a dog park.
Or, I mean, you could.
I hated your cat.
That one might be fun.
I put that one on my list.
Take a cat to a dog
my off leash cat in the dog park.
I'm sorry, but you're gonna have somebody do that.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, why can't I take my cat to the dog?
Go ahead.
No.
All right, so stick with dogs.
Okay, that's fine. So basically what we're saying is we encourage support, the dog paw, the PAB, encourage support dog paws and we'll take out animal groups now. To establish PSA PSA campaign for the education and advocacy of better dog etiquette,
education and advocacy on safe and sustainable dog parks in Clark County.
Dog parks.
There you go. That's it.
Okay.
I think we could use the word critically important to get the sense of urgency to this thing, that this volunteer group is really one of our important elements of our system.
This is a critical juncture in our community.
Yeah. so we don't look like we're just pushing it off.
Yeah, we're not just making sounds.
Okay, so I move what Jay said.
Well, you're seconding it.
Barbara moved.
Okay, I'll
second out of the word.
You use that, and I got it down there. Okay. We'll get it figured out.
You're in charge of this, Jason.
I knew that's what was going to happen. All right, so the dog parks, it's been moved, seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right.
Let it be noted that it was unanimous.
Yeah. It was unanimous. Both motions were unanimous. All right. So, we're moving on to our... Oh, I'm sorry.
She's freezing. I'm growing leg hair. I'm going to ask her for the hydrogen. I'm right here in about 5 minutes.
She's been doing her chair aerobics right here trying to keep up.
It felt good for a while, then I pulled my sweater on.
Yeah. I almost run a pair of pants this evening, too. Like, I'm going to take off before I get my car.
Seriously, you almost need sweats in here.
Yeah, it's really always cold in here.
Nice compared to the outside.
It's 90.
All right, so we'll go to the next item. Development and Engineering Advisory Board letter and PIF discussion. We'll take off with that one for a little bit.
Sure.
Straight away or whatever.
So there's a letter in your packet that Jay and I... Well, let me backtrack a little
bit. Yeah, give
me the last meeting. So... There was, Bill pointed out to us that there was some discussion from the Development and Engineering Advisory Board. Did I get that right? Development and Engineering Board. That they are unhappy with the PIF increase that the counselors approved last year. So Jay and I scrambled to their meeting and listened to their discussion on PIF fees. I'm trying to be as politically...
Why?
I don't know. Because
who did this board consist of?
Mostly, like, developers?
Developers and engineers in the community that are involved in the development of subdivisions and property.
So they are upset right now because they feel the fees are too high that we passed after not raising them for 13 years. Because we're up to the second benchmark, Bill, where it's 80% in effect.
We're at 90%.
We're at 90. So next year it'll be the full increase.
100%.
Okay. So I don't know if everyone else feels this way, but when we got it passed last year, I kind of breathed a sigh of relief and I was like, well, that's it, right? So this kind of took at least myself off guard that they have been sort of pressuring the counselors to get this rolled back. So. They also have issues. There's one developer in particular who seems to have some issues with wanting to give us a piece of land that Bill has said isn't suitable for a park need. It's not in the PROS plan, and they are upset, and they don't want to pay their PIF fees, and they feel we owe them money for this land that they have offered to donate for credits that we don't feel is adequate for a park.
Which developer?
So this, I feel, is like a... It's becoming like a big issue over there. And I think if we, Jay and I kind of discussed, if we don't get in this, we're afraid we're going to lose a lot of the progress we've made with the PIF.
And a couple of points to make with this. One is the DEA board is looking and stating that we did not give them credits, that we're not giving them credits, partial credits, or any kind of things. That's... one of the things they're asking for. It's either all or nothing, PIF fees or not. And that's not true. Bill and I talked, and Kelsey, we all talked and said they have not come to us and asked us for credits or asked us for partials. One of the examples they gave was in our park plan documents, a regional park is 3 acres, and they're saying in a neighborhood. And so they're saying that's too big because they have some acre, 1 acre, 2 acres. And we've all talked and we're fine with that. There's some issues to be worked out as far as maintenance and who handles things. But the developers are taking the position of either you take what we give you or we're going to keep it, we're going to make it a homeowner association and nobody can use it except for that community. But we want credit for that against our PIF fees because we created a park. It's just for these folks only. And so Kelsey and I talked about it, Bill, and we're willing to reach out. So Kelsey, you know, since we wrote a letter.
And I wrote it on 6/29. I don't know what happened, what was going on or if the computer changed it, but it wasn't sent today. It was sent on the 29th of June. So
that might be just a printing issue.
Yeah.
But
I have an automatic update on your address.
What?
I printed it today, so.
Oh, maybe because it's from Google Docs, it just like.
Oh, it updates on
the Yeah.
That makes sense, because I was like,
you
well,
know.
But anyway, we asked
elders, I have to say, just from where I live, okay? And I, you know, you all know that I bought and built where I did because there was a big sign down the street that said future home of your neighborhood park, which then got moved. But our developer did put in a park in our neighborhood. And it has three of those little horsey chipmunk type things, you know, on a spring that accommodate a kid up to about 50 pounds. And it's got a slide. Climber thing. That's it. I will tell you from a homeowner's perspective that we have spent a ton of money repairing those. And we're probably a more responsible neighborhood only because our HOA is so overfunded that we spend $1,500 a year having it inspected.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. We do it just right. Most won't. I'm going to tell you that. Most will not. But making repairs to keep it safe. On top of that, yeah, they tried to put up signs to say they aren't going to let other kids into this park.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, before Chinook was built, every kid in the neighborhood came there, and I let them. I thought it was great. But it's a nothing park.
Yeah.
It's not like what we would provide or plan for. They do not have park planners. They don't have the knowledge of or build a sustainable, I guess is what I'm looking for, that can be maintained on a going forward basis. And so I have a real problem just from dealing with my own set of builders that's not a good answer.
Well, that's one of the reasons I think we want to create a work group. And Kelsey, or we said this here, you know, we're reaching out to you guys, the DEA board, and we want to sit down and work out how to do this because just like you're saying, they could easily say, hey, here we're done, developers, we're gone, thanks, we're on to our next subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the coin is...
Yeah, they build it, but they don't maintain it.
Well, and can they build it to be sustainable? Just like you said, if we had criteria that says, fine, you'll get credit if you build it to be sustainable, if it's large enough that it's economically feasible for the county to maintain it. That's part of the problem is who maintains it, who cuts the grass?
But they shouldn't build it and then give it to us.
Right. But
that's
Yeah, we should, but we need to give them criteria.
There's got to be standards.
That's what we were talking about. Right. Instead of saying, okay, instead of stripping us of the PIF increase we got, let's negotiate and talk about PIF credits. So if you do build a pocket park, that's what they were calling them. If you do build a pocket park and it's on this much land, it has this many features, it has a trail, it has this, we'll give you a certain amount of PIF credits for those things. And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but Jay and I were like, you know, that's something that we are willing to say. Yeah, you are providing a service, but you don't get carte blanche on the credits.
Yeah.
A park in a swale, a bioswale that is closed, it doesn't count for something, I'm sorry. It just doesn't. But I've seen a couple developments that have decent parks.
Yeah.
However, if you're getting PIF credits for those, they have to be open to
everybody.
Every single person in this county to walk into.
Absolutely.
Not just your HOA.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I am such a big advocate of, I hate private parks. They make me very sad. Like, I just have these visions of children standing outside and staring at them wanting to come in.
Well,
and it's like, that's not the community I want to live in, where we all build our gated community parks and no one gets together and plays together.
Well, let me be devil's advocate here, just a little bit.
It's the red hair, isn't it?
It's just my nature. When they go to sell a home, part of what sells that home, at least for me, were the walking trails that were through it.
Mm-hmm.
Was the little park that was in it.
Mm-hmm.
those were things that made me want to buy there. So why should, I mean, they would put those in so that they could sell the homes.
Yeah.
They're not doing it to build a park. They're doing it to sell their homes so that they have, what do you, what's the word? I've lost the
value
word.
Added to their homes. So we've been selling.
Yeah.
How close do you guys work with the Building Industry Association of Clark County?
I've gone to some of their meetings.
Yeah. We probably should have a better relationship.
Well, I've got their president of the state organization who sits on my board. One of the things we did when I came to the Parks Foundation was aggressively work with the Building Industry Association to tell the story of how parks, trails, and strong recreational programs are value added. They sell your homes. They will give you up pricing on your homes.
Yes.
I'm Tracy Dorio, who is one of the custom builders out of the Parade of Homes and the state president next year, has been a huge advocate of selling this. So what can we do to present this to the BIA? They have been huge supporters in the Parks Foundation over this past year with money. And a lot of the builders have, we did Chef Hop and Vine with the BIA and all the new home builders in North County. So I think there's opportunity for partnership and education on you guys. Yeah, you're going to pay some park impact fees, but you're going to turn around and just like you've all told me, you pass it on in the price of the home and it upsells your home. Realtors love it, your community loves it, and you can get your money back. So let's be smart, let's all tell the story together and work in conjunction, again, that partnership. And I think the BIA wants to do that from what I've seen.
And that's the first, that's the position that Kelsey and I took, sending out this letter. So we reached out to them and reached out to the DA board, who's the first ones that we knew of. Bill brought us to the meeting, and it's the first ones that we knew of that were vocally and written. I mean, you should have seen the AHO letter and white paper. It's 20 pages, and it's called out Bill by name and several other people saying that it's, you know, unconstitutional, it's illegal, and what all is going on. So we wanted, Kelsey and I and Bill talked about that, and we want to reach out, extend our hand, and have a conversation, because here's what's going on, in all honesty, is they're getting in the counselors, county counselors' ear.
Mm-hmm. They're there.
They're funding them.
Yeah.
And to the point of where there's conversations of, well, I'm all for these pocket parks, but these are great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're great up to a point, you know, who's responsible and everything else. So
but they don't
we're more than willing to, you know, Kelsey and I know I am, I can't speak for Kelsey, but, you know, either one of us are willing to meet with whoever needs we need to meet with to discuss this.
There's a wonderful opportunity coming up August 16th, Building Industry Association dinner at the Heathman at 5:30.
Okay.
They'll be presenting a huge check to the Parks Foundation that night. What a lovely time for everybody to get together.
Are they playing in your golf tournament the day
yes,
before?
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well,
I'll be there.
Varsity golf at Columbia River High School, guys.
So, I could be giving a big speech that night about thank you for the money and going on the importance of parks and why they're just a wonderful resource for you guys. So
okay.
It might be a wonderful opportunity for you guys to get a ticket and come. I know some of our board's going to be there.
Okay. I can.
When is this day?
It really gets back down to our standards, though. And this group that sent this letter, or that you're talking about, they want to lower the standards to a degree that I don't think even the building association would agree to.
Yeah, and I think it bites them in the end. But you also have to look, and I'm just a pragmatist. AHO is not building your $350,000 home. They're not building neighborhoods and homes that are going to be around for 30 years. Do you see what I mean? They're not the builders that are concerned with. Quantity is more important to them than quality.
Sure.
And so
but they're the one making the loudest stink,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
And so
maybe we work with.
I know exactly where you're going, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Squawk.
Right.
But But they're using a boilerplate that's being used
yes.
all over the country
yes.
and to fight against
and that's
why to put these bees out
yeah.
there.
Can't agree with you more, and that's why I want to get in there and get the standards established now. You know,
well, they are established.
Well, they are established, but not to the smaller parks. That's going to be part of the discussion point.
But we always have to remember, any PIF credit we're giving is taken away from a park we already have planned.
That's right.
True.
And so whatever we give them, we're going to be, in a sense, cutting our nose.
I'm actually going to disagree with that, because it's not taking away from another semantics here, but I think it's important. It's not taking away from another park. It's replacing another.
Well, so here's the example.
I disagree. If the standards were there, John.
Oh yeah, no, I mean
if,
with
and,
the standards.
And it was built
yeah.
to the standards.
Yeah, that's
you
no
go into any of these development neighborhoods.
Absolutely, they disgust me as much as they do.
Yeah, they are. They're only good for 2 years and under.
So Ajo's. Like their big development is right across from what new community park? Curtain Creek Community Park. So they want $1 million PIF credit instead of putting PIF fees.
Well, but again, that
they're not going to build a community park though, and
right.
that area is owed
right.
a community.
But we're
park.
Not willing to do that.
Right, and we did.
Right. Yeah.
So if done properly, two standards. It's not a takeaway, it's a replacement. It's
but,
a change.
But no developer can build a community park.
Yeah,
no,
they can.
No.
But also,
no,
just what that does is it says all the planning and prioritization that we've created to put our parks in place, the developers is going to come in and go, nope, I'm going to do my park now. And it takes away from the collective discussion
true.
That
exactly.
the community has had that says, this is what we want, this is the pace that we want to have them. By not receiving those funds, we're moving at that much slower pace. And all
right.
of a sudden, new parks are just getting inserted because they can.
Yeah.
And it wasn't chosen by the larger community. It's chosen by a small group of individuals for a particular purpose. So
it's
done
and
that's
a giveaway anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily take away
imagine
the larger
costs
plan.
If we build a half a school as opposed to a full school.
Right.
I mean,
we're looking at doing
your park, you have to go around to every park and maintain it. It costs money to every, I mean, if you have 40 half acre parks, it would cost you more money than 20 acre parks.
Right, and that's where we need to establish, and we've talked about this, the size that we're willing to work with. Because what they were picking on was a 3 acre, you know, regional neighborhood parks. Fine.
See, we used to have 5 acre.
Well, I know.
Now we have three.
Now
they want a half acre.
Well, they do. I mean, that's probably where they'll want to go. That's where we have to stand up and say, no,
exactly.
you can't go to this small an area.
That's what I wanted to hear you say.
No. Please understand, I'm talking about partial credits. I'm not talking about full credits. I mean, just because you built an acre park doesn't mean you're off the PIF for all your costs. We still need to have to get development costs in or PIP fees in to for our program to go forward.
Yeah, your comment about partial credit, I definitely want to stick to our guns. I want to have standards in place and they shall follow the
yes.
standards if they're getting some.
Right.
I
to
could,
get the partial
would,
credit.
Would it be worth, well, is there a opportunity there to, you know, I'm always looking for compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a sliding scale there where the more they follow our standards, the bigger credit?
We need to establish a group to establish that type of thinking.
Yeah.
That's what really we're trying to do. We're trying to reach out to the DEA board or the building association. We'd be glad to do that. And say, let's sit down and figure out the standards that everybody can work
agree.
With.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we've got ideas. They obviously have ideas, and we're going to have to sit down and figure that out. I mean, it just, you know, but what we don't want to do, here's the bottom line, is if we don't do anything and don't be proactive, they're going to get to the county councilors first, and they're going to turn around and say, oh, you know, these PIF fees, oh my God, you're killing us. Oh, well then, okay, let's just back them off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we want to stop and at least be able to stand in front of the county councilors and say, look, we reached out. We are willing to compromise. We've tried. We did this with the letter to start that. If if they don't come to us, I mean, I was startled. I asked Bill because this Ajo was going on about this one subdivision or PUD, And it had a big, you know, and they tried to give it to us and said it was credit, and da da da. And Bill looked at it himself and the staff of the county, and it was down in a gully. It was a bottom land, if you will. It was going to be a drainage area. And he said, no. And then they turned around and said, well, you know, we asked and we got told no. And I said, and they kept saying, well, the parks, you know, won't give us credit. And I'm going, who's the parks? Who are they talking about? And Bill was the one that was kind of fronting that. But now, I mean, that's us. We got to remember, anything we do here, that's going to be us. One of our, in our future meetings, we may have a period or a category where we go, okay, does this guy get credit? Does he not get, hopefully, because we have all the standards established, it'll be a check mark and say, okay, they did this, they did that. They get 80% or 20%. That's what we've got to work toward. But I just think we've got to get in front of these folks.
And in the end, that's the absolute. As a matter of fact, so you sent this a week ago?
The 29th of June.
We sent it to the liaison between the county.
We are advisory to the county councilors. So I think we can advise, but I'm a little scared of when we do our comprehensive planning is the time to be doing those things, not later. And I resent the fact that they don't honor what we did and went through the process with them at that time and got that accepted. And to say that we got to go in the middle of a planning process and change those rules is wrong.
Well, and that's what my legal consultant said.
Not good.
Yeah, it's legally we're not held to anything because in the post plan, in the comp plan, we don't have a park plan for that area where they're trying to give us that land. So we don't have to build.
But the thing is, it may be wrong, but they're going to win if we don't.
Not necessarily. If we stand for the purpose of it and talk to our county councilors and say the time to do it is when we're planning, and every 6 years we go through that process, we're going to be going into it. How soon again? It's not that long. 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's going to come just like that. And if we don't honor, I mean, I'll stand there with you and negotiate at that time. But I don't think we should be doing it 18 months or 2 years before we start that process again. I just think it's wrong.
The way to look at this, though, Kelly, and I'm not arguing with you. Maybe we develop these standards now and we incorporate those in the 21 process. Because, I mean, you know, it's kind of a pre-planning, if you will. I know you put all your blood, sweat, and tears into the previous one. Don't get me wrong.
I
absolutely do not want to degrade that or to diminish it.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I agree wholeheartedly, and that's why I'm trying to get in front of it so that they aren't successful at that.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
But see, I don't think the county councilors are going to be that wishy-washy about falling down on that stuff. I really do not believe that.
This is a re-election year, and these folks are throwing money in, and I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't have
human nature
that
tells me.
You're absolutely right, Kelly. I'm going to tell you that where it belongs is there. However, if we stand back, just as Jay has pointed out, we will get steamrolled.
I don't think we stand back. I think we go right at them.
Okay.
Then we're standing back.
Okay. We're saying the same thing in a different way than
you. Yeah. We go right at it because
violent agreement with each other.
Yes.
Given that they haven't responded, would it make sense to sort of piggyback?
County councilors nor the DAB have responded.
Right. So would it be worthwhile reaching out to the BIA saying, hey, we know we've got a problem. They won't respond, put it more nicely than that. Can you help us, the BIA, and go to a higher reasonable?
I think that's more than we need to do several.
Oh, she already texted. Bless her.
What's our plan, though, if no one wants to meet with us and work on it? Like, what's the backup plan there?
We document it.
Then we document it. That's exactly right. We document it, and then we go to the county. When we find out that they're going to the county, and we say the counselors and say, hey, we've reached out, we've tried.
You keep sticking your hand out, first of all.
Yeah, no, we will.
Your hand out and make them. Then you document each time you've put your hand out in partnership and have not got a response. That way, when we walk in, we are fully documented.
Who wants to show up to their meeting and be public comment with me?
My word, I have
if
actually
no problem. If it's a good day, I will go with you.
I mean, maybe that's
but
what
I'm not one to be counted on recently.
Okay.
No, I my heart would be with you, but physically I might not. But I, let me know the date.
I don't know what
you
don't
try.
I'll look.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more than
because
willing
because I'm very strong. I think that it's got to be done from a sense of partnership. You know,
well, and that's
but
kind of what
not from a sense of weakness either.
She's
correct. Because we
she's
have needs that they need to comply with. I totally get it, but I also know that they are all—they're not losing any money. They're
having
on being a homeowner.
Yeah.
You know, I know when I bought my house, I paid my bill. You know.
And I think just you know, I'm maybe a Pollyanna, and I look at things differently. But when you're worried about who. County Council and all of that. I think that when you're looking at who gives the endorsement and it's election time, the endorsement doesn't come from AHO. The endorsement comes from the Building Industry Association. They've already given early endorsements to people. So that's not going to change. So
yeah.
That
money comes from companies to
yeah.
campaigns, though. So that does play a part.
And you did bring
I
up
mean,
a great point.
It's a little Pollyanna.
It's not necessarily money, though, no, Diana. Because I've seen this. Even at the time that the PIP increase went in, it vacillated back and forth so much. It is a very strong emotional
it is.
Thing. And we need to be out there advocating with our counselors to continue to be strong and support parks.
And telling the story to our other community partners of why they need to support parks
yes.
and changing their mindset so when this stuff comes up.
And that's why I'm glad you're here at our
that's
meeting to give us the ideas and other people because I'm more than willing to go out and talk to other folks about this. It just we got called because we heard there was a specific meeting and that's where we've been focusing on is on that specific meeting and that's
and I will set up anything I can through my channel and folks.
My impression is half of their board is indifferent to it right now because the economy is good and they are selling houses.
Yeah.
A couple people might be interested in turning the PIP over. We had a couple people come and thank us for coming who seemed to be fine with the PIP increases. So it doesn't really...
Well, they thought it was part of doing business. They don't...
Yeah,
they're,
correct.
Well, that's
they're,
so... It's not, I don't feel like this is, I feel like we don't have to panic yet,
no.
But I do feel like we need to do, it's just kind of like Diana said with the dog park thing, the PSA, and hit it like, you know, there's still some, that's why I want to sit down with them, there's still so much misinformation. Twice they said, why can't we count schools as parks near us? And that is something that I want to talk to them about. This is why, because you can't access them 9 months out of the year, 8 hours a day. It's dark by 4:30 in the winter. You can't take your kids, you know, to play in the playground in the dark. I mean, there's just things like that I want them to hear what we have to say, and I want to hear what they have to say. And so I'm hoping, because they are ultimately the ones who are going to make a recommendation to the counselor about what to do with these PIP fees. And I just really want them to hear, and I want to hear what they have to say. Like, yeah, it probably is frustrating to think you've built a park. And here's another one of their mindsets we have to keep in mind. They think when they build a park in that subdivision, that they are building a park for only the people who live in that subdivision. And because that's the growth they're contributing to that area. So they're not taking in mind the subdivision next door who didn't build a park, but they paid PIP fees to have a park close to them. So, and they said that kind of flat out twice in the meeting. They are only responsible for the people they are adding growth for. And that's not a mindset I personally feel is beneficial to our park system. So, anyways, this could go on forever.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think we're actually all in pretty much agreement
yeah.
as far as continue to reach out, try to set some standards. And
well, what I want to do is reach out and agree with
the
group to create the standard.
Well, I think
you
have
29 seconds in 2 weeks.
When
we
have
an
issue, it's fine when
show up.
Advisory board.
Like, I've already
and
scribbled down the August 16th date that I want to go out and look for for that. I assume it's a dinner or something.
It's the BIA, Building Industry Association. The Park Foundation is actually a member of the Building Industry Association.
I'll email there. equivalent of Bill again.
So, just so I'll check their website.
Yeah. And is there a word dinner on a 16th every month? Every month or every other month? I can never remember. They have a dinner, and then they have a focus at the dinner. So what I'm going to suggest to Tracy is
maybe we need
to speak at their dinner. Because I go every month, and I'm always about parks and grounds and recreation. And hey, you guys, you build it and create it. You put a park in it, you can upsell it. It's business. Economic development 101. So we've had some really good success with them, and they are a good community partner to us, not just in...
It's interesting.
Just in support, but in monetary support as well. That Chef Up and Vine, all of the proceeds went to the Parks Foundation, a BIA event. So all of those guys were very excited to be in partnership with us, trying to get to the same goal. So let's...
More than willing to do that. Yeah. And thank you for bringing it up, because I'd like to get connected with them so that we can start having
so a dialogue. Laura, could you maybe add that to our little reminder? That would be really helpful. I know we can put more on you here, but without memory joggers, things slip through. And then maybe we can coordinate who's going to show up.
And that's why she was saying
rotating faces also carry the
energy. And they'll try to
All right, so let's get back on track here. Lots of side conversations, obviously a stirring subject.
So everybody's done. If you don't mind, I'd like to say a couple words also. And first of all, thank you, St. Kelsey, for attending that meeting with me, and also for reaching out to Dean as well as the counselors to invite him here to have a robust discussion. And we thought that maybe we would see some folks showing up, and I know these are a lot of the topics that we're kind of hinging around in addition to the 50s. And I'm a little bit disappointed that we don't have anybody here. I agree that I think we should reach back out again. What I know, talking to Greg Schaefer, that we were supposed to have a discussion today, probably again in August, and the intent was for us to go back and actually have a meeting with Dean, have a lead meeting, and talk about what we've talked about, you know, at these two meetings here at the top. And so, obviously, we're off to a really poor start. Your discussion was great. I'm glad that you're all on the same page and that we're kind of in unison here. I think that the Parks and Recreation Board needs to have an equal or louder voice than Deep and the building community, so that the counselors know, you know, we get a good balance here. It's not going to just hear from one side. So, that said, there's a couple other things going on with this that you're familiar with. And that is, I've got Steve Dew with Conservation Techniques working diligently right now on adding trails to FIPS for acquisition and development, as well as taking a hard look at consolidating FIP districts from the 7 that we've got currently down to 3, geographically separated out west of I-5, in between I-5, 205, and east of 205. Similarly to what the city of Vancouver has done. And what that's going to do is it's going to actually provide us more flexibility with regard to trails. Yeah. So we're going to be able to cross over. Anything that was collected prior to that consolidation, of course, will stay in separate buckets, but everything after will be in the consolidation. The discussion also includes potentially a service area outside of it. So if we have a trail that's in the BIF district, it could actually go outside of it for... What we have to figure out is what's that distance outside, because it does serve a geographic area. Yeah. So, anyways, that is going to be hopefully completed end of August, because we're in a really tight timeline. It's going to be a docket item for the county comprehensive plan, and it's a council-driven request to get trails included, which I'm supportive of. I want to have trails included in there. With that, we have to have a series of meetings lined up. One of them, what we've done before when we're working with the FIP increases, is we met with the BIA, first and foremost, as the first public outreach. Then we went to DEED, then we went to the Planning Commission for a work session, then a Planning Commission hearing, a council work session, and a councilor hearing. So that's what's going to have to happen with this. That's with the FIP updates that we're working on right now. this is probably going to be talked about at the same time. It's probably not going to be anything decided on. But I do know that we do have some counselors that are invested with pocket parks, you know, because there's a lot of pressure for that. But I think that there's also a lot of resistance. And in that D meeting that we're at, we did hear some pretty strong views about pocket parks, but we also heard some other developers who were not so hot on it and thought, what we're doing is good. And so I think that a lot of people are on on both sides of the fence with this regard. But I think for us to have a voice in this matter as the Parks Advisory Board is a wonderful thing. I think it's going to be very mandatory. Thank you for
the comment I would have on that. Adding the trails to the PIP, as you talk,
right,
is the area where we can have some compromise and we can gain some.
Sure.
Some.
It's an opportunity to get some opportunity to develop some
credits
that way. So there's the answer in my mind when we go to that element. Of course, you got Steve Dew working on it. He's the right one to be doing it, professionally done, as opposed to us going out and just kind of guessing. By golly, he is a professional planner and understands the bigger implications, and will put the right things in place for us to follow.
Absolutely.
So I'm good with that.
It's really important to have a park system. Trails are huge for people. We all know that. It's one of the biggest resources that people want. So connectivity is
very secret.
So I have a question.
I do have a question.
And I probably know the answer, but I can't think of it. And that is, when I, like, for example, if District 10, it has that funny little ragged edge.
Yeah.
And yet it's Clark County all around it. As we've seen growth occur over the last 10 years, filling up that fifth district, building is going up. When does the border actually expand on the fifth district?
Well, that's with the Growth Management Act. I mean, they have to redefine those borders.
The UGA. Yeah. They redefine the UGA, and then the PIP goes with the UGA.
I think that's a separate action. I don't know if they're not making those with it or not.
Well, I know that we're starting to push that border now.
Yeah, so the MPD doesn't move, but maybe the PIP does. That's a good question. I can see that happening.
I haven't either. That's why I'm asking. It wasn't a big deal because it was all empty land up there, and now it's not so much.
So one other thing I forgot to mention is because we're going through this revision, if you will, Larry Lebowski's back on board with us.
And oh, she is.
She's going to be with us at another meeting, but she's going to be with us from now until the end of the year to give us this entire revision process, so she can answer that question.
Okay.
She's in the plan, so.
She told me she'd be here at 1:30.
Laurie, I'll be here at 1:30.
She said she had another meeting.
She had another meeting at 1:30.
Maybe that was. Yeah. I saw her yesterday.
Yeah, she had a lunch.
Yeah, she said last minute. Interesting.
But those
kind
of questions she can answer.
Okay.
I'll ask that question.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, is it? You good? Okay. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off. But I know this is near everybody's heart. So Diana, we got the Parks Foundation. I don't know if you've already said everything you wanted to say today, but it's your turn.
Well, I want to focus on something happy and money.
This is all happy. This is challenging stuff.
I like simple and happy. And simple and happy is Parks Foundation community grant program. And I've met with every municipality and multiple of people from our special project to talk about some of the differences we're doing in our community grant program for 2019, which is we're opening them up in August 1st through September 1st for letters of intent. So we're asking folks to tell us that they want funding and what their project is and what municipality is papally blessing them. I'm going to send you the letters of intent. We'll be weeding through those, and we will come up with, the end of September, our leading grant contenders that we will go out and actively pursue grant money for from the beginning of October through February when we give out our grant money. So we're hoping to raise grant money through grant match sponsors. We can hook up people with, by doing this earlier, hooking people up through National Day of Giving, our end of year appeals, so people actually can give to a targeted program. you're in Peshugal, you want to give to what Kamath Peshugal or the Port of Kamath Peshugal is doing. You're in Battleground, you want to give to that project. It will be a much more targeted grant process for 2019 to hopefully bring more money through the door. I wanted to show everybody the historical standpoint of what the Park Foundation has been doing over the years. So if you look at your spreadsheet, yep, the big one. No. I put it all on everybody's.
Oh, it's here. I'm sorry.
So I couldn't produce like a big one, but if you put them in order, kind of like a process here, you can see the grant monies we've given out and the projects throughout the year. And then through the grant by municipality, the smaller sheet, you can see what each municipality has received throughout the year. We're proud to say that in the 9 years that we've been in existence, we've given out over $907,000 in community grants to multiple projects throughout the community. We want to make this more robust this next year, and we're hoping that we can do that through our community partnerships who we're working with. We just had ALNA come on this year for the first time, and we're now at almost $8,000 from ALNA. New community partners, US Bank, different people coming in. So we're really hoping our grant program is going to be more robust next year. But I wanted everybody to see the scope and impact of what the Parks Foundation has had on the community when you look at these projects by municipality. And we've worked really hard and long to keep our community grant program robust, and I feel like as an organization, we're really starting to turn the corner on that. So I just wanted to show you how this works and then talk to you about a couple of ways that you can help. I gave everybody our community report for 2017. Really proud of this. This was our first year, my first year with the foundation, and all of the grant awards we were able to give out. But our grant awards come from our community, and it starts with very simple things. I left membership cards. How many of you are Parks Foundation members?
Yay! Well, we think we are.
You think.
And that's where I think you should clarify.
If you gave at the luncheon, you gave to community grants. You did not become a member of the organization.
Well, what about at the end of the year?
At the end of the year or a membership drive? I can go in and check and see if you're a member.
Yeah, because I know I make donations. But I don't know that I'm a member.
And that's what you want to make sure, that you're a member. And I will check everybody.
Yeah, because I always do my end of the year and then at the
luncheon. Yep, at the luncheon.
I said I'm a member, and then she said you are.
I said at the luncheon, all that ask card is for community grants. So all that money goes to community grants. It's not membership. So if you're in doubt, if you're a member, I left a card, reach out to me. I will tell you if you are a member or if your membership expired or where you're standing. Membership matters, guys. Also, please, please share social media. I try to pick up everything Kelsey shares on the PAB board, to share back to the Parks Foundation page. Share the Parks Foundation page and your local stuff with what we're doing. Get the word out. That way it helps people understand that we're an organization out there working every day to make difference across our communities, the parks, trails, and recreation. Park for Parks is coming up. How many of you golf? Okay, there you go. There's one more of you and you have a team.
I work.
I'll write you a note. But try to join us at our golf tournament.
I see
guys.
A bad cold coming.
We don't have music at the golf tournament. You're thinking of concerts for the cause.
And without it, my daughter was working it.
At Kamath Meadows. We used to do concerts for a cause at Kamath Meadows.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was it.
They no longer do that program out there. So come and be involved in the golf tournament. And the thing that we're looking at for 2019, the Parks Foundation turns 20. We've been in Clark County for 20 years, and we're focusing 2019 on the Year of the Trail. Our whole, everything will be built around the Year of the Trail next year, and the connectivity that the Lewis and Clark Centennial Trail is going to bring. We're just going to push the Parks Advisory Board and the county into full view. I've been hooking Bill up with different organizations throughout the community to talk about the Lewis and Clark Trail Project. One is the Old Evergreen Highway Trail folks, Rick Takash and his group. Rick Takash is the gentleman who's building one of the big brand new hotels on the waterfront. And so to bring their organization into alignment with Bill and everything that's going on with that trail is going to be huge. And the more people I find to plug into that, the better it's going to be for all of us as we work to build this trail. So that's what we're working on at the Parks Foundation. We so appreciate the support of the PAB board. We're sorry we haven't been able to be here. The last couple of months have been our huge fundraising. We have back-to-back events in May. I'm very excited to be adding an event come spring. It'll be our 20th anniversary booth, 20th anniversary bash at A-Lane. And we're hoping, God willing and the creek don't rise, to book in Pink Martini, which is what we're working on right now. So we've got some exciting things coming up, and we really are looking just to let people know what we're doing. Connect with community partners. Connectivity has been a huge thing, not only with our trails, but with our partners in the community and figuring out how to best tell the story about what we're doing. We this year we put 5 new people on our board to really bring some excitement and make our board a little more robust. One is Terry Murphy, Scott Higgins from Camas, Deborah Bauman, who gives heavily the Bauman Swim Scholarship Program, Aaron Beck, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Nautilus, and Lee Rafferty, former head of the Vancouver Downtown Association. So we're really working hard to get our story out. And all of that means more grant money and more opportunities for our partners. So please help us in this work. Support events. Share them on your Facebook page. And if you know of folks in the community that should be know more about our organization and more about what we're doing, let me know and I'm happy to reach out.
Rotary's presentation.
There you go. I love Rotary. No, yours is at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Don't love nothing at 7 a.m.
The last thing to tell you is Amazon Smile. As we get ready for back to school and Christmas shopping, I know Christmas shopping, what a terrible thing to say. Please remember that when you order at Amazon, you can choose to give back to the Parks Foundation through Amazon Smile. It's not a lot of money, but every little amount counts, guys. I did a fundraiser on Facebook. It was easy to do for my birthday. We raised $750 in I think it was 2 days. So every little bit counts. Nothing is too small, nothing is too big.
Well, the Amazon Smile is easy. It's painless. And it doesn't cost you anything. If you just register, then every time you log on, and I do a lot of shopping because I don't get out much on Amazon, it automatically sends just a little pittance, but a little pittance over a period of time for a lot of people adds up.
Yep.
That's why I always remind her, people forget to do that.
And we forget the small things, but it's little things like membership, Amazon Smile, all of it that counts, guys. We're running out of some of our funding sources. There's no more benches to sell. Jeremy's heartbroken about this. I keep bringing benches, and couldn't we put them on top of each other? So we're running out of that revenue stream. So we're going to have to find, be really good about working together to increase our ability to give out grant money. Any questions? Anything for me or our organization or what we're doing? Thank you.
Thank you. Component of the park system.
I really appreciate you going out and reaching out to the trails.
Well, I have such wonderful partners. I can reach out to Bill anytime, and he will present and help me. And that's the stuff that matters. Kelly has been wonderful in whispering my ear on funding sources and navigation of things. So John's been great to work with out in East County. Kelsey, all of you guys. It takes all of us working together. So.
Okay. There he is. And I do want to thank you for being here and attending the meeting. I know you've been trying the last 2 months, and you've been terribly busy and everything, but key information like you've read with the builders and stuff like that
really makes it work. Some of the work we're doing.
No, it works very well. So.
And I apologize for not being here.
Oh, no, that wasn't my point. Sorry. I apologize if you took it that way.
No.
That's not at all what I wanted.
It's my guilt.
That I can't help with.
Or it's fine.
All right, so we'll go on to unfinished business. We've had a lot of PIF update, Bill. Do you have any more? Or?
Well, actually, take a look at this. It's in your
pretty good
package. And look at the balances coming across the software.
Excellent.
It's really fantastic. So if you look at PIF 5, we've gained $218,203. This is not from last month. Is that possible?
Oh, this is just in the last month? Wow.
Yeah. And so, you look at the PIF 6, 207, 970, PIF 7, 53, 867, PIF 8, 231, 149, PIF 9, 180, 920, and here's the big one, PIF 10. This is the biggest one I've seen in years for a month's earnings. I mean, in the 2016 year, it was zero, always a year. In 2017, we started seeing some activity. 2018 is really starting to pick up, so I'm really happy to see that. But, you know, since we've gotten our PIF increase, I mean, these numbers have just skyrocketed, and it's fantastic. We're actually starting to meet some goals.
What did we spend $25,010 on?
Yeah.
What did we spend $25,000 this last month?
That was the Berry property.
The Berry property acquisition, level one cleanup.
The cleanup. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they have been doing a lot down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to throw cold water on it, but when we start buying properties and things, those numbers are going to climb as well. So
yes, they are.
These numbers may be looking pretty good, but it's going to take even more money than it has in the past.
That's true.
To keep up with the kind of growth that we got. So it's critical, and I don't want us to sit back and say, look at these numbers.
Yeah.
They look awfully good, because they don't look that good when we go to buying more land again.
I was just talking to the folks in Washougal, and they're finishing their trail segment, and they went to buy one of the pieces of land that you guys had put in the conservation futures for them.
Mm-hmm.
The land was exponentially more now than the amount they were able to ask for.
That's my point.
And it's just, I mean, it's going to get just worse.
It's silly season right now
when it
comes to real estate.
Selling season, yeah.
That's true. All right, so Lewis and Clark Trail update.
So, let's see. I can't remember what I talked about last time, but the biggest thing that I'm talking about now is actually the technical services grant was extended for a third year, which is
awesome.
And so that was fantastic. I think probably twofold. One is that we've been so happy with the project, we are already engineers, we are not slowing down as of yet. I think we're still pressing full steam ahead with the project. Secondly, the National Park Service is moving here.
That's pretty
exciting.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
And so I think so that they want to make sure this project is a big one. It's global for them now. So because of that, we've got Brandon and Brianna for another year, which I'm really happy to see. Brandon's been working on the mapping, and that will be coming up to us really soon. And so with that, I think our outreach efforts are going to be pretty well magnified.
Especially with the year of the trail, which will be the focus of our lunch.
So I think between now and the end of 2019, we're going to make some pretty serious strides with regard to the Lewis Trail. So I'm really pleased that our elected officials have been mentioning that on a more regular basis. So I'm really happy with that. So we're getting out there into the higher level of politics.
Is the city playing nice yet with the Lewis and Clark Trail?
Is who?
The city.
The city?
Yes.
Yeah, they're engaged. Absolutely. So they, and in fact, one of our stakeholder meetings was, you know, section three.
Yeah, yeah.
With the city, that was actually one of our best stakeholder meetings we had of the series. I was really impressed with the level of commitment that came from the planning to the transportation folks. We were there. Frank Carlson showed up. It was, we got a lot of information on that, so I'm really pleased.
That's awesome.
No, maybe.
This is something that will unite all of Clark County. It connects all of us. And it involves every municipality. Everybody can get behind this because it's going to be not just a wonderful thing for us to enjoy, it's an economic driver for our community. And that's the thing that I keep telling to our business entities out there is this is an economic driver for us. It brings us revenue through the door. It increases our tax base. It attracts new businesses and people to settle here because of this.
And we don't want any more people settling here, though. We have the money, we want their money, but we don't want them to stay. But that's why we need, I really want to make it.
Exactly.
I want to make it 100 miles because I want to do like round trips. I want to do those century rides and get, you know, those bike tournaments and stuff here that people come in for.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because if we can get, like, you know, those big bike groups bring in thousands of people, they spend money.
Geotourism is one of the biggest buzzwords out there. We've been working closer now than we ever have with Visit Vancouver and talking about the importance and the opportunity that this trail is going to bring to our hospitality industry. And, you know, that they... this should be a campaign that they want to join in on and help us market because of the revenue possibilities, especially with all the new hotels coming in and kind of the center of where, you know, the trail is going to be. So it's just continuing to tell the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just a side effect of this is that it's really about all of our entities around us together.
That's great.
And told David Cohen the other one is exactly what we needed.
What our community needs so, now is something we can work on together.
Bill, is this, am I reading this right, that there's a proposed bridge that would connect the community of people over to the trail in?
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow, how great is that? The bikers have that terrible pinch point over the bridge at True Valley, and it's very dangerous.
Oh,
they're working on that too. Wow.
Are you talking about the right here on the
right there on the map?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty spectacular. But that's even a great solution to the biker challenge that they have because everyone's coming. That's the main route for bicycles, and this could be a great bicycle route for people who are coming in instead of having to go compete with cars.
Yeah, no, so Sioux Transportation is actively working on that right now.
Wow.
With regard to Vancouver Lake, that'd be down here a little farther. But this is Flood Orange, right here.
Yeah.
So we have bridge connection across Lake River as well as Buckmar Slough into the trail. That connects us entire community right to that trail.
That's amazing.
Right now, the trail is kind of one way in, one way out.
Right.
So we'll have a two-way in with this connection here. So the we own land right here at White and Orange. It's going to be a big trailhead, parking, restroom, all that stuff. And then people can. It's really steep coming out of there. So you drive down, or you can walk if you want, if you're coming. Walk down and you get on this trail that's easily accessible. So it's really
that's
cool.
Spectacular.
Yeah, that's the plan.
We've been trying to get that
trail. We're trying to make the entire
loop around the lake for years, and that's the piece that's really
but
critical.
But it's happening. I'm like, what?
Yes.
It's so exciting.
Diana, remind me to, speaking of trails, remind me to tell you something.
So right here,
for fundraiser,
taking this connection.
Yeah.
This is what the city's actively working on right now. We're working with the private owners in this industry right here to make sure we've got that connection. Requiring this piece right now, and so we got this little piece to the flyer, these two little pieces right here to the flyer, and then we should have full ownership.
Fantastic.
So it's all coming together. It's a matter of making sure that we get all the pieces of the puzzles at the right time. All the puzzles. So
that's
it's pretty exciting stuff, really.
Okay. Youth member update. There's really no update to.
I have the exit interview to pass around.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So we have no. The Facebook post I shared asking for, you know, oh, here's our, you know, recruitment ad for youth. It was seen by over 1,000 people, and still we have zero applicants. But it's the summer. We're not panicking. We're going to regroup in the fall, hit up the guidance counselors, the schools, really where they can shepherd people to us. So we're in a sabbatical. We're in a little bit of a slump, but that's okay. We're not. We'll get them. They will come to us. So I did do exit surveys for Mackenzie and Sarah. I don't know where number 6 went on this one. Again, I don't know what's going on half the time. So I'll pass them around. They're pretty redundant. They both said pretty much the same thing. They had a good experience on the board. They think it would be beneficial if the next group was assigned a mentor, where they had a one-on-one person they could ask questions to in private.
Well, we tried to do that this time, and it was...
We did, but we never really got it, like, the fire lit under it. So, like, something with more structure, maybe, like a, you know, like, after each meeting, maybe meet for coffee with them for, like, 20 minutes, half hour, say, was there anything that was confusing, or do you have any questions? Because I think a lot of the times they were embarrassed to ask questions in here, thinking that they would slow the pace of our discussion, but... We want them to be learning. They also both said they feel it would be beneficial if we assigned them a project to do or a presentation. And I even worded the question, like, would that be too much of a time suck with all the other activities and school you have going on? And they both said they feel like the positives would outweigh the negatives of having to do one. So. I'd like to kind of, anyone's interested or has some ideas, it would be like a really tiny subcommittee where we kind of just meet maybe once or twice to kind of really, like, lay out, like, some ideas for projects that we could give them, because I don't expect them to be, like, have any idea what they would like to do or what we would like a project to look like, I don't know, for them. But they both said they wanted to have, like, an opportunity to... kind of like stand in front of us and do a PowerPoint on something about parks, and I want to give them that opportunity. So anyway, that's about it. They both were very thankful of everyone and thanked us for the opportunity, and so the end.
I love it.
The end for now.